So the other two, real quickly, is the launch drop, the line of credit control systems, what LOC stands for. I call it dialing for dollars. So when you have an invoice, and this is how, and this money, these monies are not given to us, a check to our bank account. These monies are kept in the U.S. Department of Treasury system, and that's called the LOC system. And so as we incur expenses or as I get an invoice to pay for a product or a service, we then collect all this from all the field offices because they all have different ranges and core functions, to where then our finance and accounting then have been doing monthly draws. But that would be a whole compilation of invoices and so forth. And so what we've been doing and what's been happening is they would then do these monthly draws. We increase that, streamline the process, and develop standard operating procedures of where we are now performing daily to weekly draws, weekly at the very minimum. And in some cases, we do it daily for a real-time outcome. So that really expedited our expenditure and drawdowns. We've also refined all of our process with respect to supporting documentation. Procurement inefficiencies, and we have, I have a procurement manager, Terrellyn Cook, who will also give a quick overview of procurement. Procurement is very critical when you talk about the mechanisms to make sure that these funds are procured competitively and that there's due diligence with respect to capacities by prospective vendors and contractors and making sure they have the proper licensing, the bonding, and so forth. So that's very critical. And then once that's done is then you follow through with the funds expenditures. And so that's a really key component, key function with regard to bringing the unspent funds down. And so we'll have a separate presentation with Terrellyn Cook in a little bit. Along the way, the development challenges, when I came on, my background is in engineering. I have been in the construction field for years prior to coming to NHA. And I worked with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in previous years. I have Dwayne Waseda and the team from operations who have been working with regard to flood mapping and some of the planning systems. So this was one where we went up and actually visited Army Corps with some of the technologies on aerial photometric mapping. I was very intrigued with that. And so we said, we are going to do that for all of the NHA. And we updated all our contour mapping for the entire reservation. So we flew a plane throughout the reservation. I think they were 2 foot or 10 foot contour intervals, 10 foot intervals. So we did that throughout. We digitized the entire mapping system. So we have a land information management system that has that. There's a lot of applications that we can derive from that. What we're doing now is utilizing for a lot of our flood delineations throughout the reservation. From that too, we're creating mitigation plans for those areas that are impacted by potential flood. And then we have 3D mapping imaging capabilities when you can take the digital data, simulate it for, and can put it for a community and simulate a 3D imaging. And that really is helpful for our community members because we have that imagery shown to them. And we have that in Navajo. We can relay that in the Navajo language. We've also undertaken a housing needs assessment, not ever been done for the Navajo Nation. So I needed a baseline measure. That took a 2 to 3 year effort. August of 2011, we published a housing needs study, really scientifically based with respect to statistical methods and techniques. We have a $9 billion housing need as a result of that overview. And we welcome you to come to our website to look at that too. You'll look at the detailed housing needs study. What's interesting with that is what you see and what I think Dennis and Craig have shown in the articles is that the housing conditions are still very desperate. The funding mechanism is, while 80 to 90 million may seem like a whole lot, half of that's already taken off the top to operate and maintain and administer the day-to-day operations of the 9,000 housing units that we currently have to do. And then the remaining amount then is competitive for all, not only new construction, but under self-determination, under this law, the leadership of Navajo Nation makes those decisions to also address assistance to our youth through youth centers, assistance to our elderly through elderly group homes, and other uses that are called model activities. HUD does review those model activities and gives us approval for that. So there's other competing needs for these funds, and so we'll show some of the investments that we've made accordingly. And then we have this concept of integrated development planning, really coming to NHA, is this really not looking at housing and building housing, but you really should consider other forms of development for a community. And so we get into master planning. And so we've also procured a master planning services for all of the individual chapters. And so that was also done with respect to what we needed to do so that we really can optimize all the resources for a community. So, wait a minute. Oh, so while we were still addressing everything, the major non-compliance issues, there was a major bankruptcy proceeding, and that was one major subrecipient for Defiance Housing Corporation, where, again, this one general contractor is now serving time in prison. That we were able to recover a little over $2 million, but that was a 5 to 6 year bankruptcy proceeding, so we had to participate in all of that. That one subrecipient developed, I don't know the exact number of homes, but offhand, it was 20 different sites, and 20 different sites with different financing mechanisms. And so that's what really caused a lot more due diligence with respect to unwinding some of the things that we could secure back in terms of recovery. ERA, the stimulus dollars, I think you all remember that. That took place back in 2008, 2009. NHA was allocated $34 million. And so one of the primary requirements was to expedite the expenditure of those funds and really create some immediate improvements. So we were able to do that. We closed that project out successfully. We also engaged in helping to originate a federal law called the Indian Veterans Housing Opportunity Act of 2010 because of our Navajo veterans saying that they're not qualifying because of the service-connected disability compensation they received. So we worked with other tribes in Congress, and so we were able to pass this while we were also doing other, addressing other challenges. So at this point, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to introduce Miller Willie, who's our one of our advisors, to cover some other external reports too that are very critical.
So in your packet, there's a better description of this slide, but the slide really goes into detail about the Government Accountability Office. Back in 2014, the Government Accountability Office, an independent agency, federal agency, that looks at different issues. Congress had asked them to look at the issues of Indian housing. What are some of the challenges that exist in providing housing development on Indian trust lands and Indian areas? One of the things that they noted is these different challenges that are cited in the report, cited of remoteness. Many of the tribes, especially the tribes in the Southwest and in Alaska, you have to realize a lot of the tribes in Alaska are dealing with very remote areas that they're trying to do development. Land availability, especially within tribal trust lands, it notes in this report, specifically notes the Navajo Nation of having 90% of the land in trust land. Further, when you look at the historical development, and not only Indian land law and Indian development, but Navajo land law, and the way that Navajo has developed its own internal system, which has been predicated by the fact that the relationship with the federal government and the way that they created the grazing rights and the individual land rights. This goes back to the issues of land availability and some of the things that happened back into the early 1920s, 1930s, still are stumbling today. Navajo Nation is working proactively on these issues right now, and they've even made recent changes as of within the first quarter of this year to do some major land reform efforts. Lack of infrastructure, that goes along with remoteness and land availability. Federal coordination. A lot of these federal dollars for housing development come from different federal agencies. When we specifically talk about one issue of environmental reviews, if you have one federal program that's providing, or one federal housing program, housing development project that has federal dollars from several different agencies, you're having to go through several environmental reviews. That coordination policy has never been able to be fully coordinated by the federal government. They're still working out on how to coordinate environmental reviews. Technical assistance. This is one area that really is a trouble problem for Navajo Housing Authority, because most of the technical assistance advisors that provide training and technical assistance to Indian housing authorities are focused on those lower, smaller housing authorities. So when you get to technical problems that are dealing with Navajo, there's no set framework. So all of your best practices and things are based upon other Indian tribes. People often refer back to Cherokee and how Cherokee's programs have all of these different great homeownership products. that have all of these great things that they're doing with rental assistance. Cherokee doesn't have a reservation. Cherokee doesn't have as large a trust land. So there's, when you try to look at the diversity within Indian country, it's hard to make comparisons between different Indian housing authorities. I've worked as the executive director of the National American Indian Housing Council, seeing all of the housing programs throughout the United States, provided technical assistance to all of the housing programs. We were the premier technical assistance agency to all of the Indian country. So I know that these issues, we always talk about the diversity within Indian housing programs. And definitely, Navajo Housing Authority is an anomaly within the Indian housing sector. So at points specifically within this Government Accountability Office report, those challenges that were largely related to remoteness and other geographic factors, land use regulations, lack of adequate infrastructure, different federal agency requirements, potential reduction in training opportunities, program support, limited administrative capacity, conflict within tribes, cultural factors. Some IHBG recipients, such as the Navajo Housing Authority, faced a combination of all of these challenges. And if you go back to that report, consistently Navajo is pointed out as one of the case studies in all of these challenging areas. This report was specifically procured and asked for by the appropriators because we were dealing with some unspent funds issues. At the time, it wasn't just Navajo's unspent funds issues. It was all of the tribes' unspent funds issues. Another report that was recently released on January 19th of this year goes back to the Indian Housing Needs Assessment. If you look at these numbers that are provided onto your PowerPoint, it shows the constant dollars and $98. Back in when NAHASA was first allocated money, that money amount had buying power of $636 million. Today, that buying power is down to $429 million. And you'll see a national trend of where tribes, their allocation and their buying power is becoming so constrained that they're moving. And also, as you develop, and this is not just a trend within Indian housing, it's a trend in all public housing. You go back to Albuquerque, you go back to Atlanta, you go back to all of these other public housing authorities, they will tell you one of the biggest problems is rehabilitation of their older housing units. They're not getting enough federal funds to provide for new housing units because they're spending a lot of their money repairing the older housing units. So these numbers specifically from this study show that new housing units from 1998 to 2006 showed that they were doing 1,900 units per year. When you compare that in contrast in 2011 to 2014, is 2,000 units per year. However, rehabilitated units, in the beginning, they were only doing 2,700 units a year, where it's moved up largely to 48,000 units per year. So you can see that the tribes are spending a lot more money focusing on rehabilitation as opposed to new housing units. We look at the constant dollars of housing development specifically, and this shows how much money is spent on housing development. Of that $636 million, $244 million is used specifically for housing development. So we're often criticized, how come you guys don't have more new housing units, even though you receive on average $80 to $90 million? We don't use $80 to $90 million specifically for housing, new housing development. We have all these 9,200 housing units that we still must maintain. We have everyday housing services that are provided. So this shows you how much is used in housing development dollars in 2011 to 2014. Goes down to $128. A little quote that's taken from the housing needs assessment, presumably judging that an emphasis on rehabilitation given the overall funding constraint would allow tribes to reach a larger share of families in need. This is an assessment that's come out just on the 19th of this month, but shows a snapshot of all of Indian country. So all of the reforms, addressing all of the challenges and the reforms, people asked when in 2013, how are you going to address this $470 million in unspent housing funds? NHA was tasked to put together a five-year expenditure plan working closely with the Housing and Urban Development HUD. This is their expenditure plan, and this is the projections. They initially started with other projections, but these are real-time numbers. So in 2013, they had $470 million. Their expenditures for that year were $142 million. Subtotal to 328, they still received their allocation of $82 million. So when you begin 2014, $410 million, they spent $146 million that year. They have a subtotal of 263. $83 million was allocated to them. So they start off the fiscal year in 2015 at $347 million. 2015, they spent $129 million. They received their IHBG allocation of $83 million. 2016 started off with $301 million. They spent a whopping close to $152 million in 2016. You have your IHBG allocation of $86 million. So at the beginning of fiscal year 2017, October 1, 2016, they started off at $236 million. This year's planned expenditure for the expenditure plan is $150 million. By the time they spend that down, they will have gotten kill to kill with their $86 million of their annual allocation. We don't know the allocation projection numbers for this year because HUD basically provided an unrealistic number based on the president's budget request, which is $700 million. It likely will not be allocated by Congress as $700 million. The other point to point out is these allocations down here, we don't receive those until 9 months into the fiscal year. So July of the fiscal year, you're expecting Navajo Housing Authorities to spend $86 million in 2 months. It's not possible. Navajo Housing Authority will always have an unspent fund balance of at least a year before or maybe 2 years. So when you're talking about Navajo having all this money in a big coffer, it's not realistic. You will always have unspent funds because of Congress. Congress is not appropriating the funds on time. And that's a real-time issue, not just with Indian housing, but with all federal agencies across the board. These are the impacts from the expenditure plan. These are the real numbers that come out. You'll see for the 5 years, modernization, 878 units that were reproduced. You can talk to the folks today to talk about what modernization entails, but a lot of times it's modernizing the infrastructure for the house, such as the AC system, the electrical system, the plumbing system. By the time you put that all into one category of modernizing it, it's the same cost of rebuilding the whole house. And so they even go down to just the foundation and rebuild the back of the house. So these are practically new units, but we don't consider them new units because they're units that already existed but needed to be modernized. New construction of public rental, 251 units. New construction of homeownership units is 287. The Section 504 accessibility, AJ talked about that, 29 units during those 5 years. Crime prevention and safety, this is a large part where we enhance the communities to make sure that they're meeting some of the crime prevention needs within those communities. Transitional and group homes, infrastructure development, model projects, those numbers are articulated there. Crime prevention and safety, those are the number of households served, not the number of units. So you'll see in the number of these categories, model projects are those projects like our Boys and Girls Clubs. You'll see those today, our daycare center, which you'll see today in Navajo. These are the units and these are the projections. It was funny because I was responding to some folks the other day, just even pulling out these numbers, you get to almost half of that $600 million that's been spent in the 5 years. If you were to put at average cost of how much each unit would have cost. So it's unrealistic when people say that there's no housing development happening on Navajo, because even if you were to basically take out your calculators right now, you would show that half of the money from that $600 million went to those housing development construction. So these are the actual numbers. These are the numbers that are reported to HUD through the annual performance report. HUD only reports. We only report to HUD the outputs. So these are the numbers that articulate. We don't share to some extent the other information on number of families served through other programs, but we keep those numbers. But if we provide them to you, one of the problems that we have, if Dennis was to give the numbers on the numbers of family serves for our Boys and Girls Clubs, those numbers are not collected by HUD. So HUD would not know and ask for those numbers. And so the problem that we have a lot of time when we go up to the Hill and also with reporters, we provide the numbers to you. You go to HUD to verify them. HUD doesn't have a way of verifying them because those numbers are not reported to HUD as part of the annual performance report. So the numbers we are providing to you reflect what's provided in the annual performance report. This is a snapshot of current projects in currently on the Navajo Nation. This is available on our website and has a way in which you can snap onto any one of these projects. A plethora of the projects. I think there's just a sample right now, right? On our website. But you can put on the projects. It shows you the project number, shows you the number of units and where it's taking place. Literally hundreds of projects. What we want to emphasize of this is that we only report to HUD the output. So when a unit, when this project, say here, if this unit was a new housing project, we only show that numbers to HUD as far as the actual units that were built from that project. We don't report on an annual basis whether that project is in process, what part of the stage of the process. As you remember back, it takes 3 to 5 years to finish one house. So these are in various stages from planning to completion of construction. So in the beginning, AJ talked about the subrecipient program. From 1998 to 2005, the subrecipient program was a way, a strategy of how NHA was providing housing development. They had 61 different housing providers that were local housing providers. NHA was like a grant-making program where they granted those funds out to local housing providers. They did the housing project. That project still in some existence today, but we've reduced those numbers down to 20 subrecipients from 61 to 20. Those 20 do have the internal capacity to provide the housing project. SWIFT is one of the subrecipients of NHA's IHBG funds. But that whole approach had to change from doing the housing development strategy to from a subrecipient program to this strategy. The six approaches to NHA's current housing development strategy focuses on these areas. What has been completed, this is included into your packet, outlines the housing development strategy. NHA first took looking at the baseline data and demographics. This is the housing needs assessment, the most sophisticated needs assessment that you can see on Indian land in the Indian country, where they articulated 34,000 houses are needed on Navajo. Existing 34,000 are in need of major repair. Equates to $9 billion in unmet housing need on Navajo Nation. The next part of the planning, housing development process, the planning and management infrastructure. We talked about all of those major reforms that had to be taken place within the organization before housing development could really start. A lot of it also putting an investment into the planning infrastructure, the land information management system, the data needs assessment, the sustainable master plan, some of those things. Also the regional planning. This is where we've worked and engaged with the Navajo Nation Council, the 110 chapters. Not every 110 chapter can receive a Boys and Girls Club or a senior center or a community facility. There's just not enough money. So they need to take a more regional planning approach of how they can share services for each one of those chapters, because there's not enough money to go out to each one of the 110. Then the next approach is looking at the sustainable master plan communities. Those communities that were ready were provided assistance to create a sustainable master plan. And you'll see that those projects were completed, as well as a comprehensive plan for Navajo Nation, taking all of this infrastructure, the land information management system, our housing needs assessment, and putting it into a master planned approach. This is available on our website as well, our sustainable master plan that's been provided. The things that we're working on now is working on leveraged financing. We've submitted to HUD regulations to look at tax-exempt bond financing, because the $80 to $90 million that you receive per year is a lot of money, but it's not enough. It only puts a Band-Aid on the housing need within the Navajo Nation. So looking at a way to leverage our Indian Housing Block Grant dollars so that it's meeting the greater needs. We also need to meet the needs of middle to higher income families, because we're having a large brain drain effect on Navajo, where our middle to higher income families don't have a place to live. There's no private housing stock, little to no private housing stock on the Navajo Nation. So what are we going to do to meet those needs? The last area is looking at economic development and job creation. How can we create those job creation opportunities? You can provide housing, but what good is it to provide housing if you don't have any jobs available? So that's the areas that we're looking into in the six approaches to housing community development. The last thing that I want to point out to you is a short little one-pager front and back. It kind of goes into specifics about the recent housing needs assessment also shows you the projected amount of impact in this little infographic here and what's been done within the 5 years of the housing needs assessment. This same information that we presented to you today is the same thing that we present and provide information to our policymakers, to HUD, and also to other Indian tribes. As the largest grant recipient of Indian Housing Block Grant dollars, as a steward of those funds, we think it's important we've been transparent with other Indian tribes on the progress that we've been making. They were doubtful that we could make our progress of that $470 million and bringing it down significantly and doing it in a targeted way. And now that we're going back, they're pleased that they've seen the outcome of what we've been able to provide. So I hope that we can have a really robust dialogue about the actual facts and the information that's available out there. And also based upon the trends that are happening in Indian housing, I think there really needs to be a studied approach to what we're dealing with Navajo, and not to come in with these preconceived notions of just looking at dollars spent on new units that are developed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mallor. And